Their kids are going to go to kindergarten in the fall. Because of the proposed cut to transitional kindergarten, we strongly oppose that. Of those 40,000 kids, 40% are English learners. Nearly two-thirds are in Title I schools. We can't let this opportunity go by. Transitional kindergarten doesn't cost the state any new money. And the proposed savings, really, we think, are not real. So we respectfully ask for your rejection of that proposal. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Morin.
Good afternoon, Chairman and Senators. My name is Laura Fair. I'm the Education Rights Director for Public Counsel Law Center. And while we take no position and, in fact, support some of the governor's mandate elimination proposals, there are a few that we are very, very concerned about and opposed because they would directly impact the fundamental right for students to access school, to educational opportunity, and to due process. The ones we are very concerned about include elimination of caregiver affidavits and the requirement to actually enroll children who are living with their relatives or their non-relative caregivers, elimination of any due process protection for students. We already have 750,000 suspensions in California, way too high for and much higher than most states, the elimination of the County Board of Appeal hearing process for students being expelled, elimination of minimal due process protections for students and parents facing fines and potential jail time for truancy violations, and the elimination of any section that would impact the timely and immediate transfer of records to foster youth. We also question the inclusion of behavioral intervention plans because there were amendments in 2010 and 2011 that were supposed to eliminate those mandate costs. And finally,
thank you. Ms. Farron, if you could conclude right
yes,
now.
Yes, and finally, we are very concerned about the requirement that would be eliminated for science that could affect UC and CSU enrollment. Thank you.
Thank you.
Tiffany Mock on behalf of the ACLU, thank you so much for this time. At this time, we don't have any official positions, but we're working with our colleagues at Public Counsel, Youth Law Center, and Fight Crime Invest in Kids to evaluate all the different eliminations of the mandates. One that we specifically noticed and we think is an oversight mistake is an elimination of the audit provisions in the Williams settlement. The audits relate to ensuring students have sufficient textbooks, teachers are not misassigned, and there's enough information for parents provided on the SARC. So we'll continue this discussion, and thank you again.
Great. Thank you, Ms. Ma.
Hello, Barry Becker, Fight Crime Invest in Kids. Our law enforcement leaders are concerned about dropout prevention. Dropout prevention is crime prevention, and so we're particularly concerned about parents being notified early about truant students' services being provided. And we do understand there is a very legitimate concern about the overuse of suspension in many cases, and it might be worth looking at without eliminating any of the due process protections for students, looking at whether it would be sufficient just to go by the federal mandates on suspension and not have any particular state mandates on schools. Thank you very much. I want to make sure to mention, of course, the most effective dropout prevention strategy is high-quality early learning, preschool, and transitional kindergarten as well. Thank you.
Good point. Thank you, Ms. Becker.
Mr. Chair and members, Khadija Alam Javed with the Advancement Project. Just a couple of suggestions that we believe will make the governor's proposal on weighted student formula stronger. We believe that the weighted funding should follow the students and not be left up to the district's discretion. Number two, rather than average daily attendance, we believe that the weighted funding should be based on enrollment. This will help schools struggling with high truancy rates. And number three, the funding formula should also take into consideration grade span adjustments to reflect increased costs of high schools. And lastly, we're in opposition of governor's proposal to eliminate the requirement of transitional kindergarten program for all the reasons stated by Preschool California. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Alanjavi.
Hi, Catherine Anderson on behalf of the Southwest Transportation Agency. We're here today. We have 12 school districts that we serve in rural Fresno County. 7,000 students every day are transported to school. And our free and reduced lunch rate is approximately 90%. And without the school bus, majority of our students would not be able to get to class. And we would just like to say that we are opposed to the elimination of transportation altogether. All right, thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Anderson.
My name is Steve Rhodes. On behalf of Santa Ana and San Bernardino, I want to say we're in strong support of the block grant and of the focus on English language learners and free and reduced lunch. That gets the money to poor kids, to needy kids, and that is extremely important. On behalf of the School Transportation Coalition, we are opposed to the permanent elimination of school transportation. And one last point, on grade levels, kids in high school cost more to teach. It's just the way the high school's structured. That's not taken care of in the governor's proposal. I'm hopeful that they will change that. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Rhodes.
Rito Guerra, State Director of Mission Reyes. I just want to reference a letter that we dropped off to each one of your offices yesterday on the fitness gram. We're in opposition to the governor's proposal to eliminate that. And I just want to add to that letter, at the end of it, we state that that it takes years, not months, to build a healthy body. And the surprising fact is that today's soldiers are much more likely to be evacuated out of Iraq or Afghanistan for a serious sprain or stress fracture than for a combat wound. And these types of injuries represent a quarter of all injuries out of theater today. I forgot to mention Mission Reyes, national security organization made up of over 275 retired generals and admirals nationwide, with 19 in the state of California and one former TAG. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.
Good afternoon. My name is Robert Roach. I am a mandated cost analyst for the Twin Rivers Unified School District. Our school district has 24,000 students in it. Our current claimed levels are $2.4 million annually. The governor's proposal will reduce our claim totals to 800,000. I also wanted to address one of the elephants in the room as far as district participation and mandates. The legislature has failed to fund mandates on an annual basis have only funded mandates on an annual basis three of the last 9 years. Hence, and at the same time, increase the minimum claim levels from $200 to $1,000, excluding smaller school districts. That's a very big reason why mandates are not being filed by many school districts. If you'd like more information, I would be more than happy to contact you.
Great.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Roach.
Adonai Mack with the Association of California School Administrators. Just 3 points on the weighted student formula proposal. First, their districts have a 20% reduction in funding, and so we believe that part of that, or at least, needs to be phased in to restore some of that reduction in funding with a deficit factor. Two, we need an infusion of resources. As everyone has said, it needs to be a hold harmless. That has to happen. And then three, we believe that some programs should be excluded. Generally, any programs that would serve students outside of the core program, so things like adult ed, ROCP, community day schools, juvenile court schools, and home-to-school transportation are things that should be excluded. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Hi, my name is Spence Runberg from Time for Kids, the advocacy organization. And I wanted to talk to you about one of the categorical funds that has not been discussed today, which is the Early Mental Health Initiative, which is funded by Prop 98 funds through Department of Mental Health in schools. And Department of Mental Health is going away. Apparently the money was funded, but it has no home right now. And it's done through grants for kindergarten through third grade. And right now there are some 3-year grants that have been promised to schools, and 140 of them this year, and about a third of those will end in June. But two-thirds of those are hoping to have funds, but there's no home for the Early Mental Health Initiative at this point. And we're hoping that it doesn't get thrown into the block grant, because it's an effective program that works for 80% of the kids and has served over 500,000 at-risk children in kindergarten through third grade over the past 20 years. And I thank you for your
time. Thank you, Mr. Runberg.
Good afternoon, Chair, members of the committee. Patty Herrera, representing the 23 school districts of Riverside County, as well as our county superintendent, Ken Young. We support the governor's mandate reform proposal and commend him for his leadership in this area. While we certainly support a block grant proposal, one of the things that we really like about the governor's proposal is that it offers districts choice. For those who want to continue with the current mandates claims process, they're welcome to do that. The districts of Riverside County have indicated that they would opt into a block grant proposal, and we support that, and we urge you to seriously consider the governor's proposal. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Herrera.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman and members. Moira Topp on behalf of the California Charter Schools Association Advocates. We join the chorus in support of the broad concept of the weighted student formula. We think that it is certainly a proposal that is consistent with something we've advocated for some time, and that's that the money should follow the student, the child, rather than the bureaucracy. We certainly share the superintendent's comments made earlier when he indicated that the funding formula should be equal whether or not you're a student in a traditional public school or a traditional or a charter public school. And the LAO recently identified a $400 difference between traditional schools and charter schools, and we look forward to working with you on the arduous task as we move forward to craft this difficult proposal, but we think the time is right now to do it. Thank you, sir.
Great. Thank you, Ms. Topp.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair and members. My name is Jennifer Moreno. I'm with the California Federation of Teachers. CFT understands and supports the goals of greater equitability, increased transparency, and reduced complexity in the school finance system, but also believes that the conversation regarding redesigning and reallocating school funding needs to begin with full restoration of the over $18 billion in cuts to education. We also believe that the appropriate place for this conversation is through the legislative policy process. Questions regarding who will benefit and how this will occur need this careful deliberation. An example of why this issue should be discussed in policy committee is the fact that the administration's proposal excludes preschool from, from the student-weighted formula because preschool serves a population outside of the K-12 population. For this same reason, adult education should also be taken out of the flexibility student-weighted formula. We also oppose any changes to the law or funding that would result in the denial of eligible children to participate in a transitional kindergarten program.
Thank you, Ms. Moreno.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, Chair and members. Thank you. Joe Rombold on behalf of San Bernardino, Santa Clara, and San Diego County Office of Education. In support of comments made regarding deliberations on these proposals, be taken up in Education Policy Committee. Thank you.
Good. Thank you, Mr. Rombold.
Good afternoon. Barrett Snyder on behalf of the San Francisco Unified School District. For a lot of the reasons mentioned, both of these proposals have got a lot of complexities to them. We think that ought to be taken in the policy committee, so we support that. On behalf of the California Association for Regional Occupation Centers and Programs, the California Association for the Gifted, and the California Association of School Counselors, we think that the weighted student formula conversations about which services we're going to decide to make completely flexible and which ones we're not, that definitely belongs in a policy committee, and we'd support that. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Snyder.
Mr. Chairman, members, Steve Henderson representing the California School Employees Association. First, I'd like to thank the administration for returning school transportation funding in the budget year. However, we are opposed to the elimination of funding after that. I'd also like to suggest, as was discussed here among the members, that the drastic change in the weighted student formula is a conversation that needs to happen in policy committee, not in budget committee. I think it's important because it is very important to look at what these programs, these categorical programs, the populations that they currently serve, and what the impact will be on those populations should you eliminate those programs and put them as one funding source. We think that's very important. We don't think you have enough time to really look at the impacts here in budget committee, so we would suggest that. The other thing that we would suggest finally is, while we appreciate that the legislature and the administration is trying to deal with the budget in this post-flexibility environment, but what we would suggest is that before we can even have the conversation about flexibility, we need to recognize that education has lost over $20 billion since 2008.
Mr. Henderson?
And before we can have that conversation, we should work to restore that money.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, Jeff Frost representing the California Association of Suburban School Districts, and thanks to all of you for your patience. Related to the weighted student formula, I would align myself with Superintendent Beckler's comments this morning regarding restoring the base before we move to a weighted student formula. I think that's key in terms of purchasing power and everyone's ability to educate children in a reasonable way. Putting it in a policy committee, I think, is also the best way to deal with that. On the mandate issue, our association can support the sort of bifurcated approach. The issue related to the Constitution was raised. If there School districts who want to fully claim, I think the Constitution provides them that option. But the bifurcated approach, I think, creates flexibility. To that end, in the block grant process, we would want to make sure that the audit process was reasonable and was not cumbersome. I think Senator Emerson's bill from last year has an approach there that's reasonable. If you try to put 24 mandated programs in the audit guide, I don't think that's workable.
Thank you, Mr. Frost. Thank you. The last word.
I think I'm the guy you're looking for, right? I am John Chochalak, and I represent, I'm a field rep for the Small Manufacturers Institute. We are a nonprofit that support manufacturing programs and shop programs throughout California schools. Through the years, there's been a lot of waves of budget cuts due to a lot of reasons, and these have closed a lot of these shop programs. There's very few left at this time. Manufacturing sees a disaster if we see the last of these programs close in our schools, and that's about ready to happen. They're on the edge right now. Our economic prosperity requires specific trade skills to be taught in these shop programs, and we now have a gap showing up with the students coming out of high school and community college who have the ability to go and fill these trade skills that are needed to manufacture and build things here in California.
Thank you, sir. We've got the point.
Thank you very much for letting me speak.
You bet. Thanks for joining us. And thanks to everyone. It was a good round of public comment, and I think many of the points we raised during the hearing were reiterated. And I think the public comment also underscores why we never get around to really dealing with the mandate situation, because it impacts so many issues, it impacts so many constituencies. And so what the governor has proposed is bold, and I think I would also weigh in on the benefit to reviewing much of the detail, not just on mandates, but on the weighted student formula as well in policy committee. So that is yet to be determined. In any case, thank you all for joining us today. Thanks to my committee members and my great vice chair for sticking with it. And we will be back 1 week from today with our next overview hearing. Thank you. We're adjourned.